Hey, everybody. Before we get started here today, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. They're supporting the program so we can continue to come with good information for you guys week in, week out about films and do
when
what
we start
do
doing that
on the Film Vault. When will you start doing that?
That's question. Yeah.
But yes, Fields, I just wanted to, we wanted to give you a quick heads up on how to take advantage of this offer.
Fields is a premium, high quality CBD to, well, honestly, take care of a lot of what ails you. For me, helps me sleep and has for, God, going on 2 years now, which is crazy. Yeah, Fields, fantastic. Start feeling better with Fields. You can become a member today by going to fields.com/TFV and you get 50% off your first order with that free shipping. That's Fields, FEALS.com/TFV to become a member. Get that 50% off, automatically take it off your first order with free shipping. Fields.com/TFV.
Let's get to the program.
Yeah.
Tony, 3 out of 4 times, he breaks himself up right before the show begins.
It was actually you. It was a look of disgust.
I mean, that's just normal, right?
I know. I should be used to it by now. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Ryan Bishop. We're your hosts for today. I'll look fast, honk for Jesus, save your soul. That's all one title. All My Friends Hate Me, assigned to us. And I got a documentary, and Anderson, you got a third film?
Yeah, but you know what we got to do is figure out what's happening with this Pinocchio, because I've never seen anything like it. What's happening here?
Meaning what?
Meaning we need a score so I can figure out if I won, so that if I did, I'm going to assign you funny pages and not Flick Festa today. But last I checked, which was this morning, it's still 0.
That's impossible. What, is 0 like as in all bad reviews?
As in no reviews.
That's impossible.
For Pinocchio. But right. The audience has weighed in, and they're digging it. They're liking that Pinocchio.
No, I thought I got reviews.
I think they're like really bad. I think you won.
Well, last I checked,
I went like 71 or something.
Which was this
morning. No. It's got a score.
Oh, it does. Is it low?
Well, depends.
This will dictate Anderson's flick fashion, so perhaps we should know.
Well, I mean, just is it low?
It's not high.
Okay.
What, do you remember what your guess was?
It was lower than yours. Because look at my little app here that I look at, which is Flicks.
Is that cool.
And it's got 891.
That's not the shitty one from...
This is 2022. Oh.
Are you on the shitty one? Because I got fooled by that too.
2 hours, 5. Another Pinocchio came out this year.
No. It doesn't say 2022 because I was looking at the one from 2003 by accident.
Does, but it's a cartoon.
What?
I don't know. This is horrible.
Yeah, because there were two Pinocchios that came out. That was part of that shitty article where they're like, this is why we'll never get tired of Pinocchio and it lived on our hearts forever. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who feels that way?
Disney. So apparently, yeah, this is an animated one.
Yeah, that's a different movie. This is a different, yeah, this... I typed into Google Pinocchio 2022 Tom Hanks.
All right.
So as to remove all doubt.
Well, that's good news.
Wait, which shitty one is he in?
He's in the Disney one. The one that just came out. He gambled on.
And he's Geppetto. And it's not a good score.
Okay.
It's not even a 3-star score.
So I think you should save the papers.
The papers. Yeah. Funny Pages will be watched by you.
Oh, is it called Funny Pages?
Will be watched by you this time next week. And we will. I give a very tentative, huge thumbs up to Funny Pages. However, it's not
everyone's. Why are you tentative?
Everyone's cup of tea. A lot of people turned off by this movie. There's no bit. I'm just doing what I do over here, which is review movies, suggest movies, and now and again ruin them for people.
That's true.
Yes.
That is your new thing. It was like farts and spoiling movies.
What?
You love, that's your new thing. You love scat and you love spoilers.
I do not love the scat. I'm just kind of, through attrition, I'm just like, all right, well, you know what? It's here to stay. Everyone's going to like think it's funny, and like I'm just going to stop railing against the old scat humor over there. That's all I'm saying.
Do I have to rent Funny Pages?
No, I'll get you a link, bro.
Oh, thank God.
Hey, he's a scat Money's sympathizer tight. Now.
So, no, what I was saying is... I gotta pay a mea culpa.
Yeah, what's that?
So evidently, a lot of people were very upset with me giving away Breaking, and I figured, you know what?
It was brazen.
It's Electric Boogaloo is a movie from 30 plus years ago. It's a breakdancing movie.
That's my logic.
That's your bit right there. I'm doing a really funny bit. No, Breaking, the new John Boyega movie, which I blame Avery because he gave me the green light. Okay.
Oh, is that true?
I gave you the green light to go that.
Avery, don't let yourself get sucked in.
We can imagine
this is
how
the Sarlacc tentacle. Because
I can
see,
we can imagine how it ends, but I didn't know the specifics of how it ends. If that makes sense.
That's
what I was saying.
Wholeheartedly apologize for doing that because I know that a lot of people watch movies, and I love the fact that anyone gives us our time and listens to our opinions on movies. And I put a lot of work into it. I think you guys know that. So we all do, right? And to ruin a potential good viewing too for somebody. With my big mouth, it upsets me. I've heard there's a lot of chatter out there. I have not looked at it. I don't have the stomach for it, but I've heard. I've got some emails. I had a few emails, so I know that, you know, on the socials, they're probably giving me the best.
Never before have our listeners rallied around a cause, maybe since my overt racism.
Your overt racism? I don't know what that means.
Self-deprecating joke.
Okay. We should also mention that not only are we streaming video weekly, twice a week. Bi-weekly means every other week, right?
Yes.
Semi-weekly. Well, No. Semi-weekly is okay.
I thought bi-monthly.
We got the Avery cam now. So Avery's a little box at the bottom, and we can all see him. And
if you get out of your magnifying glass, you can see me.
Yes, he's very, very small. As he does a better job, he will become larger as the weeks.
So I will shrink.
That's true. It goes both ways.
I open my big mouth a lot, and stuff's always falling out of it, and occasionally the wrong stuff falls out of it, and I absolutely
rarely
apologize.
Rarely.
You know there's an Oasis song called My Big Mouth?
That makes sense. Here's what I'm going to say. It's from doing a bunch of research for the movie Breaking, which I was kind of enthralled with the actual story more than I was the actual movie, and I wanted to impart that to the viewers as far as what the movie was about and what it was covering there. It's a movie that's really enjoyed for the great performance. And the story is fucking paint by numbers and it's pretty predictable. So that I'm backtracking a little bit, but what I'm saying, you should still see this movie is why I'm saying that. Like even if you know how it ends, which I'm telling you guys, if you see this movie, it's telegraphed. You have a very good idea.
Come on.
What I'm saying though is you're going to know.
Stay the course. Whether,
I played this out in my head and I heard Brian saying stay the course and all that shit too. So
really?
Yeah.
On brand. Yeah. Look at that.
All right. So there's that.
I'll throw you a lifeline and say that I do. Is this supposed to be connected to something?
Oh, geez. What happened?
Is our show recording?
We are, but we're not recording. This is going to.
Do we not have the audio?
We don't have the audio for the.
You can marry that up. Still more work, but
it's a lot more work is what it is.
You fucked it up.
I did. Oh, and I should have. All right. I need to. Okay. Go ahead, Barbara.
Pause. I will say that when you're in our position, which is you see the movie and then you do some amount of research, could be 5 minutes, could be a lot, depending on how invested you are, how much you find the research, the background interesting. And if you spent that much time with the movie and the story and the background and the research and how it ends, it just kind of lives in your brain as, this is just how it happened. And this is, you kind of lose track of what's spoilerish or not. I find myself occasionally dodging those bullets.
Okay. You said a bunch of stuff, and I think you were throwing me a lifeline, but yeah, I wasn't listening because I'm doing tech stuff over. Thanks, buddy. Sorry, I'm replugging in stuff. All right.
I'm saying you're a diligent researcher.
I am. At times I am, and like a lot of times
I didn't say
that,
but...
Oh, yeah, I see. But okay, so let's move on from that.
How did Breaking end?
Well, listen to last week's episode.
It is hot in here.
Is it warm?
I think I'm just feeling...
I think you are. I'm very comfy.
I think I'm just feeling...
It's quite warm.
It is, right? Went from cold to warm in 10 minutes.
I was joking. It's quite toasty.
Really? Okay, well, thanks for letting me know. The oven's on. The AC just turned on. Look at that. Here we go.
Is it because you just turned it on we requested
it? No, I just looked. I just checked.
Oh, that's going to take a lot of work. Oh, son of a bitch. All right.
Do you want to mark anything?
No, that's all right.
Nothing to mark.
I'll figure
nothing
it out.
Nothing to mark.
Wish I clapped. Hey, you know what? I'll clap right here.
Clapboard. Okay. Clapboard. Put the woman's name on it.
You know what I should have let off with, which is this.
Timely.
Mike Carano and I mentioned it briefly. I did a soft launch a few weeks ago, but it was a little bit ahead of...
Is he my replacement?
Horse, I remember horse ahead
I
of the
that.
Car.
I know that name.
Many of you know Mike Carano. I do the After Disaster with him and Tai Tai Weekly. I've been doing that for over 10 years. He was also the subject of Cult of Chrono. He was also the general manager of the Improv for.
Was he really the subject of Cult of Chrono, or was he the?
He was the subject
because it was fantasy.
But he was the subject. Okay. He's the titular character, as you would like to say.
That's true.
He and I created this offshoot of CCP during COVID, actually, Clever Kind Productions, which is supposed to just be for like industrials and camera shoots, B-roll, anything you need production-wise, I can do that. And then after working with Chrono on a documentary recently with our buddy Rand, we work really well together. We love working together, and we decided to partner up in this endeavor. So Clever Kind Productions, trademarked, by the way, is a full-fledged production company ready to do business with... It is trademarked.
I know, I'm trying my best. It didn't avail.
And the website is up. The demo is there for you to see. And we're going to start, you know, pouring money. Not pouring, but, you know, doing some advertising, sending some money out there, trying to work with people. But I wanted to... I'd be foolish not to open it up to you guys first. And I would love to do some business. We've already booked a couple things through listeners. But if you are in need of our services, we have fair prices, and it's a sliding scale. So everything's over at cleverkindproductions.com. I will put a link, and Carano and I will be doing work, hopefully with some people that know us, or maybe we know you, as well as strangers moving forward. But wanted to open it up there. And we, between the two of us, we have a small production company as far as like Hollywood standards go. Like the amount of lenses, camera equipment, lighting.
That's great.
We have everything, and it's times two now. So we can take care of all of your production needs, anything you guys need.
When's
and we
the
do
wedding?
A good job.
Weddings and planning.
That's not till March. Yeah, the weddings that the wedding we booked was in March. But hey, yeah, if you're getting married too and you're looking for a videographer / still photographer, we do it all.
What about adult entertainment?
I mean, we do it for the stories.
He said he'll do it all.
We don't want to do weddings for strangers, but we're excited to do weddings for people who listen to the programs, who already know us, and that'll be fun. Like, it's going to be a good time with Jesus and Jessica, which they're getting married in March.
Jay and Jay.
We just had a little meeting with Jesus and Jessica, and they just signed the contract, and it's nice. All official. I had Carano on the meeting. Yeah, it's good. It's really fun doing proper business with people, and necessary if I'm going to keep the dream alive and continue making movies and not get an insurance job. So
right. Have we ever talked about on this? I don't, this show has been going on for a number of years now. Have we ever, speaking of business, a good business, bad business, and trademarks,
all business in between.
Remember when, I'll just say someone who was in charge back in the day, subtly or not subtly, brazenly and suddenly dropped into our laps. Oh yeah, we filed for a trademark for the Film Vault.
Who did?
You don't remember that?
I thought you did, and I was mad at you.
No!
Somebody did over at Network?
The our mustachioed friend.
Who's our mustachioed friend? I'm drawing blanks on mustachioed.
He was in charge of things over at the Orange Couch for a while.
All right.
You really don't remember that?
I don't remember anyone with a mustache.
Do you remember me telling you?
What? No, this is all.
Do you remember me telling you about that?
No, I don't think I did. Remember?
Someone. The plan was to file a trademark for our show, for us.
Well, I think we would have probably fought that, and we have.
Can you imagine the resources? We hadn't paid nothing.
I know.
Thank God your friend is Derek, who actually has like contract law.
Yeah, he's a copyright lawyer. My best friend. Hi, my best friend. All right, what am I, child? All right, so and also finally, movie night is coming up.
I don't remember that.
Right. I might remember. A lot of shady shit's happened.
Speaking of which, I had a lawyer do a little bit of work for me at the time, and I approached him. Nice fellow, Southern fellow. His name is Dwayne Watts. Look him up if you need contract law somewhere in the South. Dwayne, I told him about it, and he goes, well, that, he's like a Southern gentleman. He's like, well, that is kind of shady. Yes, Dwayne, it is.
All right.
That's it.
I got nothing more than to say because I don't remember it.
That's why I'm telling.
And he had a mustache? Donnie had a mustache.
I'm not saying who it was.
I don't remember Donnie having a mustache.
I mean, you could probably Google a picture of him right now.
Okay. All right. Fine. Oh, my God. I'm sweating. I'm so hot.
Why are you so hot?
I don't know.
Are you okay?
And there's a problem.
It is coming back down.
Now that I have an Avery camera in here, there's three cameras. I guess it's overload. And It's making me look like I have blackface at times.
Still blue. We're it's
making me look like I have blackface at times, which is not
wait,
cool.
What? What's happening to your face?
Yeah, it makes see how it's all and then it looks like I have
The tearing.
You see that?
I see it.
Do you have like a big white outline over your mouth?
No,
that's really offensive.
Okay.
Nobody requested that I was on camera.
I did.
I requested he wasn't.
I did as well.
All right, let's get to program. Let's get
yes,
to
yes. Let's
movies.
Hear what the people have seen in a segment we call Fanflictions.
Fanfliction compiled by the Mitch Burns, Teresa Wong on Twitter. Good luck to you, Leo Grand or Grande. Who knows? A coming of age movie that's well written and engaging. Probably a movie to recommend to everyone 50 plus to everyone's 50 plus year old mom
or Anderson.
Don't watch it with her. Only John forgives on Instagram. Barbarian was something truly special.
Really?
Keeps you engaged the entire runtime with spectacular storytelling and tone management.
Should we see Barbarian?
No.
A cult classic horror in the making.
She goes into an Airbnb and it's not what she thought. I mean, that could go many different directions. I'm happy to hear
that. That could
people
be a porno. That could be a horror movie.
People are responding well to it, but I'll have to be sold a little bit more, you know what I mean, before I hop on board.
Like we did with Prey. Kevin McCarthy.
And Malignant. Right. Oh, goddamn Malignant. You still haven't seen Malignant.
I have not seen
Malignant.
It's a
movie made for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should see it.
It's about cancer.
Oh, shit. Huh. What's it called?
There's that joke. There it is.
Kevin McCarthy on Reddit. I started to watch Pinocchio and fell asleep. Good nap. 4 out of 5 stars for the nap.
Shady. Cheeky.
Andrew, what movie is that?
That was Pinocchio.
Oh.
Panache?
Have you heard of that?
I have. How do you screw up Pinocchio? This is a time honored, time loved.
We haven't seen it. Maybe it's great.
Right, by
maybe it's
by great. Making it again after it was made in the
40s. Right, it was perfected in 1940.
And Disney owns so many properties. Really, they're dusting off the old knotted wood.
I got to be honest. I did see a few scenes from Pinocchio, and it looked confusing.
Oh yeah.
I mean, confusing as in, like, what is happening? Why are they doing this?
Well, like, as in making it?
Tessa was watching it and barely interested, which is not a good sign. And I was watching, I'm kind of looking up the screen going, what the fuck? I know this is kind of
What was confusing?
Not confusing. Like, what was happening? Why is this in front of me? Mm. Why is this made?
Why are you watching it?
Yeah.
Mm.
They should do a Song of the South remake, but they give Jordan Peele just full
now
rights.
Now you're
just
talking.
Like a Nope version of it. Get out.
That would be pretty tight. No, that's a great idea.
That would be some edgy shit.
Song of the South on the show.
Flawless. 5 stars.
Yeah, that's what I said. So actually, for the 1 6-star movie I've ever given.
That's twice 3.
That's right.
Andrew Odell on Facebook. Honk for Jesus. There is potential here, but not sure who this movie is made for. I'm interested to see what the writer-director does next. Also, look up Creflo Dollar, the Atlanta pastor this is obviously based on.
I did some research. I got every time I say that now, I got to be careful.
Ah, that's right.
And I saw some similarities, but I didn't see anything about some of the other stuff, which I got to be careful about saying. So I'm not sure if it is. Maybe it is. I don't. What the hell do I know? I was trying to figure out if this was based on an actual guy, and I came up with that.
In sure, it's inspired by.
Yeah. This movie. We got to talk about this movie. Boy.
Dean Longnecker on Instagram.
Longnecker.
Got to love that Longnecker. He goes way back.
Thor, Love, and Thunder. Yeah. Some good, some very bad.
Mm.
Christian Bale was very good, at least. Tried to outdo Ragnarok, failed miserably.
I think your expectations failed you.
Mm.
Everybody else, I agree. I think that the movie's good. I think it's maybe I kind of watch them back to back.
3 stars.
You want to talk 3 stars some more, Brad?
No, I'm done.
I've thought about it a lot, and it pisses me off.
You need to think about other things with the show.
Like what?
Not spoiling the new movies.
If I didn't give you such a hard time about spoiling, I get it. Like I'm the pastor who's very hard on the gays, and then gets caught diddling.
That's right.
Boys
sucking dick.
Yeah, that's what I did. That's exactly what I did last week, and I have shame.
Buddy, I get it.
I wouldn't have shame if I sucked the dick, because, I mean, to each his own, right? Yeah. It's just a lifestyle.
That's just what you do.
But, it's from piling on. Are we done with the...
Jim Rutherford.
Oh, Jimmy! Hey! Jimmy Rutherford. He gave me this shirt.
There you go.
Sent the shirt.
Solid tight shirt.
Check it out. If you're watching the YouTube feed, you will see the tightness of the shirt.
Did he make the shirt or did he find it for you?
I think he found it. I don't think he made it. It's a very well-crafted shirt. And last I checked, Jimmy Rutherford is a general manager for an NHL hockey team, not a shirt designer.
Wait.
I mean, the same name. I don't think it's the same dude.
It might be.
I'm like, we have the GM of a...
He was the GM of the Penguins for many years. Oh, really? For their two cups, back to back, baby.
All right.
I watched the Snowtown Murders.
Oh, fuck the yes, Jimmy.
AKA Snowtown.
I was not ready for the debauchery that was this movie. I expected it to be heavy and intense. After all, it is murders in the title. Mm-hmm. When the picture-taking scene happened, I was surprised and shocked, not knowing what the movie was entirely about, and it just gets worse from there. The first half was very different than what I expected. The second half kind of lined up with the Just Watch synopsis. The main kid looked like an Australian Jesse Eisenberg, only one you didn't want to punch in the face. Anderson would be pleased that there was a lot of smoking in this movie. Seems appropriate for the time and the demographic. Oh, and I almost forgot about the kangaroo buckets.
Yeah, it's the kangaroo stew that really stands out, as well as the photographs that the old man is taking of the young children and their skivvies early in the movie.
Yeah.
And then the sociopath that comes to know their lives.
See, that's where Brian's got a type.
I've already seen it.
That's Snowtown Murders. That is an intense, fantastic movie. Really, really good movie, but makes you dirty.
I remember it being unpleasant.
Very unpleasant, but intense and realistic, right? I think it might have been Ebert who described the movie as like, it just starts off with like a family who is very interested in their favorite pastime is staring at walls. That's what they do. The family's just kind of sitting around staring at things in the house. Very simple.
Forgot about that.
Rubes, Australian Rubes.
And lastly, the Mitch Burns Watch Beast, and I had to watch Roar. It's free on YouTube, and it's worth a watch just for the sheer craziness of it all.
Last I checked, it was not on YouTube. Oh, well, it was, but it was like dubbed with one language that's not ours, and subtitled with another language that was not ours. So, and then you said we should watch it.
What did I say about
Roar in that setting for the live show? And I said no, that would not be good, Brian. And then you thought about it for maybe a couple seconds and agreed. Speaking of the live watch.
Yes.
Movie night. Film Vault movie night is coming up soon. It will be September 22nd at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. Mm-hmm. That's going to be taking place on my couch again. And we're going to start with a little pregame at 5:30.
What do you think about calling it Film Vault Family Movie Night?
I don't know about that.
It'll be a family movie night here, and that's fun.
I don't know about that. And then 6 o'clock, we will start the movie.
Will there be popcorn in your house?
We can do popcorn. It's just kind of obnoxious in the lavaliers. And I today put up a poll to see what everybody wanted to watch.
Was it an open poll or were there options?
Options. Options. Yeah, it's a poll.
You're right.
So there's five movies.
A ranked choice voting?
I really want
ranked choice.
And it's not over yet. So maybe
five points for number one.
Me begging and pleading right now might change it. We'll leave it up for a couple more days. But here are the movies that are up to be watched on September 22nd. The original Blob, 1958, Steve McQueen.
Oh, wow.
It's on HBO Max.
Steve McQueen's in that?
Yes.
Wow. Really?
6% of the vote. People want us to watch The Blob. The Fly, the original 1958. Help me. It's really bad. That's 29% of the vote. That's 1958's The Fly. Children of the Corn. Right now, running away with it. 1984's Children of the Corn. Malachi, right. 38% of the vote. That's the clear-cut favorite
right
now.
Is that a good movie?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Chud. C-H-U-D. Chud. 1984's Chud. Only has 13%, as does my favorite, the one that I really want to watch, which is Cat's Eye. Cat's Eye. 1985 on HBO Max.
Is that Drew Barrymore?
She's in it. Yeah. There's a cat. The cat is the through line for it's an anthology horror films involving little green men, stop smoking methods that are odd, as well as gambling on a cat getting across the street.
Like I watched a Black Mirror situation.
Kind of. It's like an early Black Mirror, a little Twilight Zone-y, Stephen King-y.
All right, King-y.
And I think it is Stephen King, actually. I think they're his stories.
James Wood.
It's great. It's a really fun movie.
Oh, my God.
It is Stephen King's Cat's Eye.
Talking to Emily Hood, who is our assigner this week. I talked to her, and she asked her husband in real time if it was Stephen King, because we were talking about a little Cat's Eye. And he said, yep. I should know that. Come on now. But yeah, Cat's Eye is a fun one, guys. And it's depressing. It's only 13% because that'd be a fun one.
When you said James Woods, and me think of something. I was looking up Eric Roberts today for his a film that I thought he was in that was about royals, and it was not, so it's neither here nor there. However, what would you guys say, Avery, you answer this question to, average, normal range, let's say, for when you look up an actor on IMDb and it lists films not yet released, pre-production, completed, post-production, whatever it is.
How many they got coming
How many is at the top there, usually, for just a working actor?
Three, four.
I was going to say 3 to 4. Okay. 5 at the most.
That's a really good... Would you look up Eric Roberts' IMDb and tell me what you see?
I mean, that's nothing new, though. I have that story from AFM where...
I'm going to guess somebody 27.
Had, somebody. You would be off by a magnitude of 4 or 5. Wait, keep going.
How do I search by just...
Just scroll.
He said
what the fuck is that?
To everything.
That's
what is the number? Does it say?
I don't think it says, but it is quite...
It is around 100.
It's a hunch.
He says yes to everything, and I think I told this story, but...
My God.
A young...
I've never seen that.
First-time filmmaker was stoked to have Eric Roberts in their movie, and they spent like 10 grand on him and got him for a day. And went to try and sell the movie and could not get anyone to even talk to him because Eric Roberts was in the movie.
Oh, is it just deterrent?
And the distributors up to him, like every single one was like, we already have like 5 Eric Roberts movies. The last thing we need right now is another Eric Roberts movie. Having him in your movie actually hurts your movie.
That's funny.
And he's a great fucking actor.
He is a great actor.
It's such funny. A shame.
Has he explained why he's...
I mean,
he's not Bruce Willis. It's not like he's got limited time and he's trying to get it in there.
He's maybe broke, and he's also, he's in the program. He's trying to stay sober, trying to stay busy.
Occupied.
Occupado. Yeah.
I tweeted a video of me scrolling, and someone replied like, hey, I'm an independent filmmaker, and he's great for indies because for $5,000, you can get an Oscar-nominated actor. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's a really good point. That's crazy.
It's not a good point. I just explained.
I had not heard your story that I just heard just now, live on this program. Avery, have you ever seen anything approaching?
That's insane. I can't even wrap my mind.
Minimum 100 projects there that are with the red type.
And then shout out.
It's 2 a week.
I know. But I mean, it's 2 days a week, right? You're making pretty decent money and you're meeting new people and getting treated like a god on every single set. You know, I can see it.
What a life. So you got to get him for your next movie.
You ever seen The Pope of Greenwich? I don't want him.
That was the movie I was looking up because I couldn't remember if it was called The King of Greenwich Village. I was trying to be clever.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Look at you. There's plenty of opportunity to be clever with that list. We're doing top 5 royals or monarchs or whatever you want
to
say.
Number 1, King Kong.
I mean, I saw that on lists. There's a lot of people out there thinking they're clever with their lists.
Fuck off.
Exactly. So many fuck off moments in my research this week.
I have no clever pick. I don't think any of these.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either.
I'm saving my clever
pick. King Candy is probably coming up.
That's
right?
Not clever. That's a great pick. You're going to hear the voice.
I hate you so much. I fucking hate you.
Hey, see if Pam Adlon's here.
Oh, buddy, happy birthday. I take back the hate. I'm sorry,
man. There's one clever pick.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I record this. It isn't my birthday.
46 today.
How dare you. Christy actually uttered how old I was, and I hadn't actually heard it said. Mm-hmm. She goes, oh, you're 44. I'm like, I guess I am.
You're only 44?
Yeah. Oh. It's born 78.
Oh, yeah. You're 5 years younger than I am, so that makes sense. Uh-huh. My God. Yeah, 44. Think look at that. The big 4'4".
I know.
You've looked 44 for the last 32.
That's true. Yeah. I had friends who would tell me that in college, like, listen, I know your hair is falling out and you're 40 pounds overweight.
Go get us some
you're
going to
look this. You're going to look like this for the next 40 years.
You're like, is that a good thing?
I'm like, well, I mean, I'll take it.
Hey,
I'd listen, like to, just being here is a gift.
I would like to thank Elizabeth Edelman, who not only bought something from Addie's Antiques and let my wife know, she was going back and forth with Jillian, thanking her. And she said that she got her son into estate sales and he already bought something and made his first sale. So that's pretty sweet. Elizabeth Edelman, thank you for the kind words. I always love it when the wife comes out and says, oh, I just talked to one of your listeners and they're so nice.
Oh, how nice.
You're talking to a guy who's bought from Andy.
Oh, yeah. And Avery is my newest customer, our newest customer.
I should have done it live on the program. I threw it in my car so I don't forget.
Oh, you fucker. Yeah, he got what would you call them? They're serving trays.
Yeah, it's like a serving tray or it's like a...
Not so.
Oh, Christ. I touched fucking Siri's button and now they're trying to
interpret.
It's
like a serving tray or like a large tray to put your keys or wallet in if you've got like a table.
With snooty foxes. Yes. Snooty English
snooty
foxes.
Snooty British foxes in petticoats with dogs.
Nice. So. Yes.
The Brits like to do that thing. Like, we hunted this innocent, cute little animal for literally centuries, and now we're going to make them look like they're in charge. Isn't that cute? Isn't that cheeky?
I didn't realize how common foxes were in the UK.
They're the cutest.
My roommate was just over there, and he literally outside of the flat. It was just a fox, like in the middle of London, eating out of their trash can.
Wow.
Like, I didn't
realize. Raccoons over
there. Yeah, they're like raccoons.
When I lived up in Santa Barbara, I saw one a few times living out in the meadow. It was very, very cute. Right. Very cute animals. All right, let's do some movie talk.
Let's talk movies.
What do you say?
It's been too long.
Let's talk some flicks. If you'd like to vote on the old what we should watch this week from Thursday, please do go on to our Patreon page. I did a link on the old Twitter there, or if you're already on Patreon, go. It's open to the public, so everyone can weigh in. For what the select crew.
I'm excited for whatever they pick. I would love Cat's Eye. I would love. What's the other one that's leading right now? It was the
Children of the Corn. Have you seen? Yes. You haven't seen Children of the Corn. Have you seen any of these? The Blob, 1958's The Blob, Cat's Eye, The Fly, the original The Fly, Chud, or Children of the Corn?
Nope, not a one. Hmm. That said, I'm glad that The Fly and The Blob are at the bottom because I feel like there's a little too close not. To. The Fly and The Blob, are they the lowest two?
No. The Fly, maybe I didn't give it. The Fly's at 29% right now.
Oh, so no, I don't like that at all. Here's what I don't like about that. Mm. I feel like we're a little too close to Mystery Science Theater 3000 with the schlocky horror movie. Like, our thing is so far has been pretty sweet with sort of either bizarre horror movies, i.e. Green Inferno, or just delightful over-the-top silly horror movies like The Final Destination.
Well, The Fly is absolutely that.
Yeah, but the black and white from the 50s, that's their sweet spot. I wouldn't be surprised. Google
their,
it right now.
Who's their sweet spot?
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, what am I Googling?
MST3K The Fly. I'll bet they've done an episode.
We're capable of doing that. No, we're not going to do the same thing that they do. We're going to be
it's going to be a lot worse.
No, it's not, because they like try and like add on and like do little silly voices and stuff. We don't find that's not our brand.
No,
we're talking about the movie choices that they made and how different it is from the remake. And
don't like it.
All right.
What about Deep Water with Ben Affleck?
And I would like to...
I don't know what that is.
It's the horror thriller he did with...
Arnold.
You saw that, didn't you, Brian?
No.
I feel like you flipped
it. I saw the Ben Affleck...
You saw scenes from it.
I saw the way, way back. Not good.
Huge. And I saw liked it. You said, you know what? It's not that bad. The way, way back's pretty good.
What's the one where he's the bar owner? The way, way back
tender
was
bar.
Good.
Bar.
The boxing... the basketball movie was good. That's the way
back. That's the way back.
The one where he's the bar owner is bad.
Or is it the way back? What's the one?
What's the way back?
Rockwell's way back. Yeah.
Oh.
Jessica Dunnigan. Huge shout out to Jessica Dunnigan on the Patreon page, who's saying, I'm mad at whoever isn't voting for Cat's Eye. I agree, Jessica. I agree. Let's go, Cat's Eye. Come on. Come back time.
Here we go.
All right.
Coming from behind.
Yeah.
Can you unvote?
I haven't voted yet. How about that?
That's a good point.
My vote's very weighted.
How does one vote? Seriously, how does one vote?
Patreon? Just go on to Patreon. If you have you don't even have to like, you know, be paying anything on Patreon. Just like have an account with Patreon on our page. Go and you can vote.
And so anyone hearing this right now, just sign up.
We'll leave it up until,
cast your ballot.
Next week, we'll announce. It's going to be one of those movies.
Well, we need to also let the Patreon people know. You would obviously do that because people are going to have to rent the movie and possibly see it.
They don't have to rent it. It's either on HBO Max or Prime. HBO Max and Prime are kind of the new... Children of the Corn just got another vote in real time. Fuck. Yeah, Children of the Corn's great. I actually have a great story involving a knife being pulled on me and a large glass table being broken while Children of the Corn was screening in front of me.
Oh, my.
The only time a knife has ever been pulled on me to be used on me was during Children of the Corn.
I don't think I've ever had the pleasure
of having a knife. I've had knives wielded and like stabbed towards me. When I was a bouncer at the punk rock club, like hammers and whatnot, but guns, like I had gnarly shit happening towards me all the time. But the only time anyone's ever actually unsheathed a blade
cutlery
because I had upset them so much and come at me with it was during Children of the Corn.
Damn.
Pretty good stuff. Yeah.
I don't want to see the movie,
but the cat's eye is still the better choice of the two. All right.
What are we going to honk first?
Let's honk for Jesus.
Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul is a 2022 film written and directed by Adama Ebo, feature debut for Adama, and starring Regina Hall and Sterling K. Brown. 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. Curiously, 26% with the audience.
Hmm.
I'm more with one of those. This is streaming on Peacock. Anderson, let's talk about Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul.
Let's do that. I was hating this movie for the first 20 minutes.
Me too, and also the second 20 minutes and the final 20 minutes.
Oh, you hated all of it?
Yeah, I just liked the entire thing.
It kept... So it's a mockumentary, and it's done... It is until it's not, inexplicably.
Problem number one, weird mix of mockumentary and then just straight dramatic scenes, and you're never... Early on, you're not quite sure. I remember the breakfast table scene early on. I'm like, is this still part of the mockumentary? Are they still abandoning it already?
The sex scene, the very explicit sex scene involving that thing that they do where like one goes down on the other and then we just stick with the one who's being gone down on and we see their pleasure, unnecessary. There's no need for that. Do I ever have to see any actor go through that? It feels exploitative. Nothing for me as a viewer. I'm just uncomfortable.
When the movie opened and it opens with news reports detailing their scandal or an interview detailing.
Did you set up what the story is?
These are two mega church pastors or one, I guess, and his wife, Sterling K. Brown and Regina Hall. And they have encountered some scandal and they are attempting to rebuild their congregation.
Congregation.
Yeah. And almost instantly, I don't want to give anything away, but I don't feel like I'm giving anything away.
Is there a sniper?
There is not, but there is the first thing I thought when this movie started, I'm like, if they fucking go for he's really kind of gay angle, and they kind of did, and I was like, fuck this movie. But then they kind of didn't, they half-assed it. And I was like, what is this movie? Are they going for it or are they not?
So Thor, Love and Thunder took a lot of heat for its tone management and how it didn't know if it was a comedy and I blame Christian Bale for not knowing how to mail it in because he's so goddamn good and committed to that character.
Too. He can be hilarious.
He is funny. That's why it worked for me because his character was still funny.
Christian Bale himself has been very funny in movies.
He's very funny. And that interview, that article that Avery just shared with us, I don't know if you opened it, but it was talking about how down to earth a couple weeks ago. Truck is
Like a 2003 pickup. Toyota pickup.
They're like, why do you have that? Why is that your car? He's like, because my friends like to help them move. Have me help them. I don't know if.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, you got to have a truck. Everybody needs to move stuff.
You got to.
Do you, Christian?
But that movie, I could buy his... I liked his evil comedic ways, and I forgave that movie more. This Honk for Jesus, I don't know if I've ever seen an American film be this all over the map as far as tone goes.
True.
All over the fucking map.
I 100% agree with you.
And I hated all the mockumentary stuff. I really did dislike it. There was nothing clever or funny or interesting about it.
I laughed zero times in this movie. I wanted to. I was like, oh, this is going to be like a funny takedown of these, megachurch pastors. Blah, blah, it'll be low-hanging fruit, but it'll be some chuckles. Nary a laugh. Mm-hmm. I didn't laugh once.
I don't like the nary thing, but... Mm-hmm. Don't like the nary.
Did you find it? Did you have a joke that you responded to?
I don't think I laughed one time. No, I think I'm with you.
Incredibly dry.
And then it got it was trying to go outside the box a little bit with the mime stuff.
The mime thing I wrote down feels incredibly written, as though you're like, okay, we're at this point of the story, and we need something. We need something to happen here. And it was so forced and so written, and I think I had a little bit of a douche chill.
There was one line that I laughed and I actually wrote it down, and it was when he was talking about Jesus was all about the shock factor. That was pretty good. That was pretty funny. He was talking about, coming because they're going to come back on Easter, but then no one will do it. I don't want to give everything away. I'm a little gun shy with you even talking about how these things go. But the gay angle was kind of interesting, and then it would shy away from it, and then it would go down exactly where you thought it was going to go down. Just a really bad movie. On all counts, just bad.
Really on borderline unwatchable. Like if I hadn't been watching this for the show, I don't know that would've made it past the one-third, half mark.
This is your fault. You assigned it to me.
That's true, actually. You're right.
So ultimately, I think it's her story. And I love Regina Hall. I really like her.
She's one of my favorite comedic
actors. And I feel like she was kind of wasting her time on this set. Not to be... that's fucking harsh and mean, but that's what I felt like. God, imagine if she spent this time doing something good. But ultimately, it's her story, and it's just like, how far will a woman go for her man, essentially? And she goes pretty far.
It's also self-indulgent. Like, so many scenes go on so long with nothing.
Yeah. It made for a decent trailer, I guess, and they've been pumping it all over the place, and I could see people checking this out.
They also
made it
look much more wacky in the trailer. You know what I mean? The trailer like is almost, it pops a little bit, whereas the movie drags.
That wouldn't work for me either, because I hate wacky mockumentaries. Mm. Like, they're so self-aware. And yeah, this just did not work. It's unfortunate. I'm not sure what I was trying to say. Now, it is interesting in the sense that I, at the risk of speaking out of turn here, I know that the gay issue is different in the black community. And I think that that's what this movie was also getting after a little bit. And it's interesting.
I would have liked that. They just soft-pedaled so much.
They did soft, exactly. They did. You're absolutely right. And like, what's the point of like him talking to that dude with the grill who was like in jail and he used to be
former congregant.
Like, what was that? What was the?
He was collecting trash.
Or yeah, and it just showed that like maybe he. There's just so many head scratching moments. How do critics sign off and say this is a good movie?
How are they
running scared of being honest? I mean, essentially that's what this is, right?
And people started tweeting.
There's no way the critics could actually like this movie.
When this came out, people started tweeting me like, oh, what the huge disparity here in the scores between the critics and the audience. And I'm like, I mean, it's making fun of religious people, so I'll bet it's getting review bombed by, you
know. It could be that, too.
I am much more in line with the audience score. Much more.
Yeah. I am too. In this case, it's not always that way. A lot of the time it's reversed.
I agree. Most of the time I would say it's reversed.
But yeah, I think critics I think everyone, you know, a lot of people are running scared and they're afraid to give a movie like this an honest review.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that no one can be fucking honest anymore.
Critic proof.
Kind of is.
I mean, I've never seen a top five critic proof movies.
Ooh.
Not bad, Avery. Write it down. Terrible.
Not proof movies.
Yeah, not awful. All right. Where are we going? Where
are we
going? Are we going?
All your friends hate you.
Yeah. Talk to Emily Hood today. She's out of Boston.
The film is actually called All My Friends Hate Me.
And I guess this one was getting pushed her way quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I had not, I came across it in my research for the old cinematics over there, which is how I came across Funny Games. Funny Pages, which I'm very excited to talk to you about next week. But All My Friends Hate Me is a British horror film.
I saw it promoted as such, and this does not. I think it would be, for horror fans, I can imagine them being very disappointed by this.
Agreed.
This is not a horror film.
But in talking with Emily today, and it was nice being able to talk,
a dark comedy.
Talk it through with her. This is like maybe British style horror with the mind fuckingness of it all.
Yeah, it's a bit of a psychological thriller, I guess, to an extent.
One shot involving a hanging that had a real horror element to it, but it was so fleeting, so quick that was pretty much it. There's also a scene with a man wielding a hatchet, which
there are horror elements for sure,
but none of them pay off with actual horror.
Yeah. It's almost a misdirect throughout the movie.
The whole movie.
It's a misdirect.
So why don't you set it up? Because this is another one of these movies that's almost like a genre to itself.
All My Friends Hate Me is a 2022 film directed by Andrew Gaynard, his feature debut, starring Tom Storton as Pete.
Pete.
As Pete is the main.
Pete's the lead. Character. You got to like Pete to like this movie.
Or you got to hate Pete.
Or you got to really hate him. Yeah.
I didn't find him. Well, whatever. 89% Rotten Tomatoes. This is streaming on Hulu. And this is the story of Pete, played by Tom Storton, going off to a weekend at a house in the countryside where he all of his college friends are getting together to celebrate his birthday. His girlfriend will be joining him in a day or so. But for at least the first 24 hours, he's going to be with his college buddies. They're going to engage in activities like drinking and shooting pheasant.
Mm-hmm.
Pheasant.
Yes, pheasants are being shot.
Pheasants are shot.
And winged. I didn't like that.
Indeed. There we go. That's All My Friends Hate Me.
Yeah. So,
and there is I'll take you up to the inciting incident. There's an interloper in their midst.
Yeah. There's a new guy who, a new friend in the pack, in
apparently
the circle.
That's tradition.
It is. Oh, with that.
Yeah. That's apparently they do it every year.
Yeah. Cause these are highfalutin. Can I cuss? I mean, what's going on here? I feel like there's a child nearby.
I don't think there is.
These are highfalutin cunts. And,
are they?
Yeah. Oh, what? What? Brian, did you watch what?
I mean, they're
the coked up dude was like
they're college graduates, but
I see what's going on here.
I found them to be.
I see what's happening here.
I couldn't even get it out. I found them to be quite relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sympathetic even.
Yeah, so this is a very similar setup to Bodies, 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 which you didn't see, but it's a bunch of friends getting together at a big mansion, and they're all like high, well-to-do, highfalutin, upper echelon of society, Brian. And then also...
they're making deals.
It's got a little Knives Out, for sure, which is a very similar setup to that as well, where you're in this very nice mansion, and there's a bunch of people all trying to figure out, you know, who's
up to what.
And then also a little Murder Party, which I go back to with Jeremy Sonia's feature debut. I love that Murder Party starring Mark Macon Blair.
You know where I saw a crossover too, with a movie we both enjoyed?
Clue.
The Voices.
Oh, The Voices? As far as unreliable narrator, you're absolutely right. And that was one of my biggest problems with this movie.
Really?
So what I uncovered while talking with Emily Hood about this is that this...
Is she British?
Is quite... No, she's... This is quite obviously a COVID movie.
Okay, sure, yeah.
And I think it was kind of maybe rushed into production because of the nature of it, where it's going to be, you know,
all takes place
six
more or
people
less in one house.
In one house. And this could have used another few months of...
To cook?
Of developing and punching up and making things make a little sense, because it did feel a bit half-baked.
That's interesting. Now that I have that perspective, which I guess I should have thought about her. I didn't
until talking to Emily and talking it through.
Well, there you go. I found this to be a good movie by any objective measure, but it could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So it looks great. Let's get that straight, straight away. This movie looks fantastic. It's not like one of these edgy independent movies that's like a bunch of handheld or shot on video. Like, this movie looks fantastic. It's well acted. There's some very funny moments when the new guy comes in with a duck. That's fantastic. But
forgot about the duck.
The problem is, I don't know what I'm seeing, what is real. If he's really being gaslit, they don't back it up with actual claims that he's not or is. And we don't get any flashbacks into the real life, which it could have used, I think.
You wanted spoon fed to you.
I needed some more spoon feeding, yes. And maybe I'm
hand holding.
Wasn't able to pick it up, but I think it wasn't there. I could try to pick stuff up now, all day if it's not there.
I'm giving you a hard time, but I felt the same way. It's like, just give me a little something to grab onto.
Yeah, there wasn't enough of that to see what was actually happening out there. So with that said, I give this a, if you're British and you like this kind of humor, the movie could have been called Gaslit, right? Because he was just being gaslit from the beginning. There's a lot to like here as far as the look and the performances, but overall I was frustrated. I was very frustrated many times. Well, I like this movie. It's a good movie.
You can also describe this as a series of awkward interactions. Uh-huh. Like, the guy's just profoundly awkward.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to relate to his friends, but they've clearly gone in sort of different directions since college.
And I think a lot of people can relate to that too. But it's where he was talking about how his name was Skippy, because he was the skipper of the parties, and they're all like, no, you weren't. Like, was he or wasn't he? Yeah. I still don't know. I'm still frustrated by that, and I'll never know. So that's the problem with the movie, but it was an enjoyable watch. It was a quality made movie. It just could have used some more incubation.
I do appreciate that it picked a lane, like the confusing, the unreliable narrator angle, where you're like, wait, did that really happen? Like, he's confessing to things. Do we even know if that happened? I appreciate the movie committed to that bit, but it was also, like you said, frustrating.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, the overall message is you're your own worst enemy, right?
Yeah.
But if you had seen Bodies, 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 I think you'd see a lot of, which I think is probably another COVID movie, made during COVID, because they're all in one spot. But very, very similar. One's much more violent than the other, though. That I can tell you. That I can tell you, but they're very, very similar in tone and the nature of them. Yeah. Are we moving on? You're moving on. You have a documentary. I too have a documentary that I may or may not talk about right now. I'm throwing off a little bit because Funny Pages. Let me do a soft sell for Funny Pages. Just try and get some people to buy in and maybe watch it with us so that we can all talk about it next week. Do you remember The Squid and the Whale?
Yeah.
We talk about it quite a bit.
Yes, we do.
Do you remember the young boy, Frank?
You had mentioned him last week. I remember him that he was constantly putting elements of himself on
his lockers. Essence on lockers and books. His name was Owen Klein is the name of the actor. And
Owen Klein.
He grew up in New York, and he befriended one of the Safdie brothers. He was in their circles. And he wanted to be a cartoonist for a while, and he was a bit of a little shit to his parents and threatened to drop out of high school to become a cartoonist. This is all obviously after he was did a fantastic job as Frank in The Squid and the Whale, the younger brothers, Jesse Eisenberg's younger brother. God, I love that movie, Noah Baumbach's Squid and the Whale. Well, he is grown up now, and he wrote and directed a movie called Funny Pages, which is very particular. And you and I are going to be talking about it next week now. It's very independent. It's made to look independent on a purpose, and it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. But for the people that do like it, you're really going to like it. I fucking love Funny Pages. It's definitely got a possibility of vaulties written all over it for me. Wow. I look forward to talking about it with you next week.
All right. 87 minutes, a brisk.
It's pretty brisk, yeah.
87 minutes. Do you want me to do my documentary?
What would you give? Let's go back real quick and talk about All My Friends Hate Me. What star rating would you give that?
3, just about average.
Let me ask you this. If you're a 3 stars, how many stars do you have below you?
2.
How many stars do you have above you?
Well,
how many stars 2. Do you have above?
2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So it's 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. What's 3 out of 5?
We're not doing that, Brian.
That's not the math. It's not the math he's
going
with. You
guys just say you're not doing it.
We're not doing that.
I believe in math. Math is the only universal language.
Also was pointed out to me, Brian, that the little poll that you cited last week on Facebook.
The poll that I cited?
Yeah, where people were weighing in on their take on 3 stars.
It was 60%?
Evidently, you were just fibbing.
Really?
From what I... emails that I received, they said Brian is lying to you. It was actually the majority agreed that 3 stars is the average.
It was 3 out of 5 people who agreed with me. 60% majority.
Slightly above, is that what you're trying to say? I see what you're doing. It's very cute. It's very cute. So you're just making a little joke there that lined up with your. Yeah.
My recollection is that most people agreed with me.
Mm-hmm. Brian, if and a lot of people did bring this to the discussion that if 0 was an option, then it changes everything. 0 is not an option. I get what you're saying with the 60%. Any child could see that. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about a star system with, there needs to be a middle, mm-hmm. the 3 is the middle. That 1 is terrible. 2 is bad. 3 is okay. 4 is good. 5 is great.
Maybe in your system.
Well, when you lay it out like that, I agree.
Yeah. 5 out of 5 is 100%.
You know, it's
4 out of 5 is 80%.
You know, it's very.
I'm still going.
Go to your percentages somewhere else, because that doesn't work here. When you're talking,
math is universal language.
The after disaster we did in my pool last Wednesday night, and I brought this up on the program to my very good friends Mike and Tyler, and boy was I miffed when Tyler agreed with me and Mike disagreed with me. I'm like, I didn't see this going this way. This is weird.
It's almost like you and me.
It's like the young millennial gets it. The old crotchety guy doesn't.
But no, Corona's the old crotchety guy, and mm-hmm. you're the old crotchety guy here.
I'm not. No,
well, compared to me.
How dare you? Yeah, young, spry 44-year-old. Look at him. Happy birthday, buddy. Hey, you know what? 3 stars means a really good movie, huh? That's your birthday present.
It doesn't mean really good. It means just above average. I'm having a 3-star birthday.
It means average, Brian.
Just above average.
We all know that it means average. We all know it. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it.
Your understanding of this is 3 stars. Actually closer to 2. I saw a documentary. It had been on my list for quite some time. Mm. I finally got around to it. Mm-hmm. This is a Netflix documentary called Untold, Operation Flagrant Foul, mm-hmm. 2022 release, directed by David Terry Fine. This, Anderson, does the name Tim Donaghy mean anything to you?
Heard it.
Tim Donaghy was the referee from the NBA.
Oh, the mobbed up ref.
Yeah, that's right. Who was caught in a scandal, supposedly fixing games, making a lot of money for the mob, et cetera, et cetera. And this is the untold story. I will say that this is the 8th installment of the Untold series on Netflix.
You've seen one before?
I have. The very first one was Untold, the Malice at the Palace, about the big brawl between the Pacers and the...
Meta World.
I think it was the Pacers and the Pistons. I think it was. Anyway, I think it was.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Palace. Yeah, in Detroit. There you go. Anyway, so it was really good, and they kept making more of them. I will tell you, and now I've watched a few. I'm saving one. I actually would like you to see it. Mm. Next time I get the chance to assign.
I don't believe in this movie.
Hey, do you know the name Manti Te'o?
Oh, yeah, the guy with the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy without the girl. She lives in the Niagara Falls area.
This is great. It's good. Untold is an excellent documentary series, the best sports documentaries since 30 for 30. And honestly, I think they're a little better. So, yes, Tim Donaghy is
Crimes the and Penalties is the better one.
Which one was that?
It's the Untold that I flick fest on here about six months ago.
Which one was that?
It's the one about the 17-year-old kid that's gifted a minor league hockey
team, yeah,
by his mobbed up father.
It was good.
The Trashers.
You liked it, right?
So good, yeah. Love it.
It's a really solid series.
It starts and ends there for me. Don't need to see any more.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, you might be seeing the man tied
to. Very open-minded over here.
It's very open-minded. Tim Donaghy, thankfully, is in this movie. He is the subject, and they got him to sit down for interviews. And, of course, by the nature of the fact that they got him to sit down, it's a little sympathetic towards him.
Did he look nervous? Like, there's only so much he could say, right? Without getting...
That's funny you mention that, because the only thing he was cagey about was how much money he actually made and how much money he may or may not have kept. Because at a certain point towards the end, they're like, how is this guy affording this, 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 and this when all his money was, taken by the government? And they're like, how much did you make? Off camera director, how much did you actually make? And he's like, yeah, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little cagey about that. Everything else he was very upfront with, from his point of view. I understand that he's telling his story,
right?
But he opens it up by saying referees, if you do it right, you can swing the game 6 points either direction.
NBA is the easiest one to control, I would think.
Yeah, it's gotta be. And I mean, so the real meat of this is how, yes, he had like mobbed up friends. He was an intermediary. He was like a real, New York, East Coast type, good fella type who was, running the numbers. And it's a great story. It's really interesting. What the meat of this thing is how he basically alludes to, oh no, there were multiple refs doing this.
Of course there were. Of course.
Like league wide.
Yeah.
And the story was about to break with the FBI. They would have blown up the NBA. It would have been catastrophic for the league.
Probably should.
And David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA at the time, basically got the story sort of, I think, through media contacts, or I don't even know how. They never get into it because it's unknown. But basically basically molded the story to be like, oh, Donaghy was acting on his own. He's a rogue agent. He was doing this.
The fall guy.
Yeah, he's the fall guy. Exactly. I wrote that
down. No grassy knoll. Lone gunman.
Yeah, lone gunman. He was the Lee Harvey Oswald.
So this is a story. You're not talking about the film and how it actually was put together. And if it was good, it's fine. It's your birthday.
You're thinking I'm professing this because my birthday?
No, I'm giving you a pass because it's your birthday, because you're not talking about the film and whether you're telling this story of what
was it cinematic?
Does it go quickly? Is it well edited?
I think this is
a talking head
in the neighborhood of 85 minutes.
Oh, I think you say percent.
No. It's in the neighborhood of 85 minutes.
Somalia, this smells like 85.
What is the score of this one? Get any gold medals? Is that what they do? Is that what the wines get medals?
The Somalia, Master Shams. This is it's a jaunty documentary. It's well made. It's got the right tone. And it gets in and it gets down. It doesn't waste its time, a lot of extraneous details. His wife is one of the more compelling characters because she's very Pollyanna-ish. Yeah. And I think she's
at least that's what she's playing, right?
I can't tell if she was still with him. At one point, she definitely filed for divorce. I'm not sure if they reconciled.
She wants half that money.
Well, I'm not sure if... That's a good point. Yeah. But she can't prove that he has it.
Mm.
It's all gambling.
That's why he's cagey.
Here's
the question that I have is, do they talk... Was he already involved? Because you said he's kind of like a good fellow. Mm-hmm. He knows he's connected. Or did they come to him? That's what I'm interested in. If they don't get to the bottom of that, I don't give a fuck.
He knew this guy from back in the day. I think he's a Philly guy, Tim Donaghy. And he knew the guy from back in the day. And he would be giving the guy... It's a snowball effect, right? He starts out giving the guy tips. Like, referees always have the inside info. Like, oh, this guy's hurt. This guy's, sick. Or this guy's... whatever. They're not going to be at full strength tonight. Definitely take... And he had a code with the guy because the guy had two brothers, right? One who stayed home in Philly. One who, moved to, LA or something. Mm. And so if he was saying, take the home team, he'd say, yeah, how's Gregory doing? He'd leave a message on his machine. Like, hey, how's Gregory doing? The brother who stayed home. And if it was the away team, he'd be like, hey, how's Paulie doing? Paulie, I said hi. And that was how we communicated, take the home team, take the away team.
You were smitten with this story and how they came up with their little coach.
I loved it.
Yeah, I could tell his face.
Slaver, you must have been familiar with this story from when it happened.
Yeah, I heard about this when it happened.
Yeah, because I was fascinated since the story broke, and finally now we have a documentary.
I know this is all Bill Burr rants about, so I'm sure.
Yes, I heard quite a bit from Bill.
Really?
Yeah, he talked about this endlessly.
Why?
Because he's obsessed with sports and
conspiracy
his whole
theories
thing. And he rails against the NBA and was convinced this was happening already. So then when this came out, he was like, fuck the NBA. I knew it.
Yes.
So he feels this comfortable just speaking freely. He's not afraid of reprisals.
That's what I'm saying.
No, because that's funny you mentioned that. So the intermediary guy was just some Goomba from back in the day.
You now afraid of reprisals?
No, and both of these guys actually sat down for the documentary, the intermediary and the guy who was running the numbers, like actually making the millions. And the guy was not a made guy. They actually explicitly said that. Like, yeah, he was associated with, greaseball types, but he wasn't actually in like the organization. And
greaseball types. Well, very
good fellas. Rounders. Round the way guys.
Rounders.
He's like him as a rounder.
I don't know if that's a thing at all.
That's a dialogue from Swingers. Okay. Classic mob movie.
All right, Brian. So you watched another article.
I enjoyed it. By the way, if you have
you watched another article.
Brian's favorite kind of movie.
You assigned me a true crime documentary.
What was that?
Like 2 weeks ago.
I didn't assign it. I suggested it because I knew that you would like it because it's a
either
article
way
movie.
We flick fast.
That's a great that was a great article movie.
Which article movie?
It's Running with the Devil, the John McAfee story. John McAfee story. That was Vice style too. It's your birthday. Enjoy your untold 30 for 30s. And
if you can't tell, I enjoy sports docs almost as much as music docs.
I know you enjoy sports and music so much more than you enjoy movies. So it makes sense. It makes sense.
And here I am talking about films. Things I don't even care about.
It's kind of true. Look at the camera.
I did assign you Abbey Road once.
Oh my God.
That was a bold move.
It was very bold. All right. Let's keep this truck going.
Okay.
Out the door.
Oh, come on.
Bye-bye. We're not going to gamble on this one, are we? We're going to gamble on this one?
Gamble the next episode. All right. Come on.
All right. All right.
Guys, next episode, top five royals, male royals, kings, princes, etc., etc.
Emperors.
Wait, are all my kings?
Princes.
All mine are kings. Well, no one's an emperor.
We could have done kings. We could have just stuck with kings. It's some confessional on the next episode.
Oh, really? I'm excited for this.
Are you?
I don't know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Confessional.
Thanks, Emily Hood, for assigning us All My Friends Hate Me. Interesting watch. Thank you for being a Patreon subscriber, supporter, assigner.
Not a great title either. That title does not do that movie
justice.
You're
right. That is
the movie's better than the title, for sure. It sounds like we didn't like it. It was a good movie. It could have been better. It could have been much better.
Yeah, 3 stars.
It's average, so it's 3.
Slightly better.
I'd say it's 3.5 stars because I think it's a little bit better than average. No, it's definitely better than average.
Thanks, Andy Corbett.
Oh, my God. There's a very funny scene. There's a couple of very funny moments in the movie, but one where I laughed very hard, where he finally got the little booklet and got to read what was in there. That's some good shit right there. I was laughing very hard.
That was enjoyable. I would like it better if it was a better movie.
Hulu. It was on Hulu. If it was a little bit better, I would have liked it more, yeah.
Check us out at AaronSenderBryan.com. That's where you find information about Andy Corbett. She's our feature artist this week. Instagram is AaronSenderBryan. That's where I see our listener art every week. Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vault. Thank you to all of our Patreon listeners. Thank you especially to Giovanni, Jordan Wolf, Jomo, Jordan Montgomery, Mitch Burns, and Mike Cole. Check out Addie's Antiques. Apparently, Avery's been checking out Addie's Antiques.
Got some good stuff over there, guys. We pick it up every single week. We go through dead people's houses and buy stuff, and it's a lot of fun. It's a fun little pastime the wife and I have, and she's got the eye.
They're really prying it from their cold, dead hands.
No, a lot of the time, you know what she always tells us? Jillian always tells herself, because we wait in line sometimes out front, and it's good. It's good quality time with the wife without the boy. And I'm like, isn't it kind of sad? I said this to her early on when we started going to estate sales. I'm like, you ever get sad in here? She's like, no. Everyone I go into, they're retired. They're selling all the stuff so they can go on vacations.
I love the narrative.
I'm like, that works for you, huh?
Yeah, downsizing.
She's like, yeah, absolutely.
They hate their kids and want to give them nothing.
So they can live in Hawaii.
Avery, got any dates coming up this week?
As you're listening to this, you can check me out at Genghis Cohen, Good Sport Comedy. Right. At Good Sport Comedy on Instagram. Free show, 7:30 in the Fairfax District. Check me out.
Nice. Now, what day of the week is that?
Wednesday.
There you go. Check that out if you're able to. Thanks. Oh, and Invade the Decade is Avery's podcast. Check that out. And until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh.